Back together again, you and I chatting it up Monday, April 29th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. I wondered out loud if the current crop of college protesters has enough class to not ruin graduation ceremonies across the U.S. Alexis Harrison of CT 169 Strong called us to fill us in on the latest developments surrounding various zoning and development issues in the state.
So I'm watching coverage of all these protests over the weekend and the ones at Columbia, the ones at other schools here, and a lot of the news coverage, quite correctly, is noticing and pointing out that we have a lot of commencements coming up. We are getting into commencement season now, usually runs from the first week of May coming up till the second or third week of May, when a lot of families gather and some of them attend these commencement ceremonies, whether it's a main ceremony or whether it's something smaller at some other schools at these colleges and universities. And there's a fear here this year that these ceremonies may be hijacked, to use a phrase out of the 70s. They could be hijacked by these protesters. Now, look, you know my stance on this. As long as you protest peacefully in designated areas at designated times, showing a little class, then go ahead. Have at it. It's part of the American dream, the American way. It's what we do here in the country. We're not like totalitarian regimes, many of which are in the Middle East, by the way, who try and shut people down. Having said that, commencement day should be off limits. I'm sorry. I know you think you're going to save the world by getting out there and yapping from the river to the sea and all this. And if you want to do that, go ahead, fine, do that, whatever. I get it. I understand it. Can we please stay away from commencement day? Because here's an idea. I don't care how you feel about Palestine, about Israel, about the Gaza war, about the Hamas war, and all that. I don't care how you feel about that. Leave Commencement Day alone. Commencement Day is a day generally reserved for people to gather, mom and dad and their sons and daughters, or maybe grandpa and grandma, nonny and papa, whatever, and their grandkids, a form of celebration to be there, to see their kids, their grandkids, their stepkids, whatever, take that final leap after 4 or 6 or 8 years of college, depending upon what degree they've attained, and go out and start attacking the world, right? Grab the gusto, grab the gold ring. The last thing these people should be subjected to is your ranting and raving about how you think the world should be. Now, do you have any validity to your thoughts of how you think the world should be? Sure, why not? Everybody's got an opinion. I have nothing against that. This program here every Monday through Friday is based on the news and opinions, and we invite that. But for God's sake, don't be selfish and think that anybody cares what you think about. I don't care whether you're pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas, anti-Hamas. Leave graduation day and the commencement ceremonies out of it. Because I know there are people out there listening to me right now who have waited, in some cases, 22 years or 24 years or 26 years or whatever, to see your loved one graduate from college. But there will be some idiots, there'll be some morons who will be tasked, they think, with imparting what you think and wrecking that situation. I give you this from the Hearst Papers, the Connecticut Insider. The group protesting the Israel-Hamas war, camping out at Dove Tower on the UConn campus, says it will not stop until its demands are met, and it's considering disrupting the school's upcoming commencement if necessary. Organizer Mohammed El-Sabal said Friday, "We are more than willing to not go to commencement or disrupt it if it comes down to it. You know what that is, folks? That's not a concern for somebody around the world or this, that, and the other. That's arrogance. That is not taking into account that it is a, and not just at UConn, Southern Cal, USC, ended up canceling their main commencement. The satellite school is still going to have theirs. But now USC is worried because you have people all over this country who think that it is some kind of a God-given right that they wreck a day that other people are looking to celebrate. Now, class day is coming up at Yale. I don't know exactly when that is, but you know that's probably going to have its share of people doing it. And I'm sorry, you know, Paul, we're just protesting. All right, you want to protest, fine. But this is a classic case right here of people who carry, and I'll just say it for what it is. A lot of these protesters, well, I shouldn't say a lot. Some of these protesters, by the way, read Dan Haar's story today about the Yale protest yesterday. Well-balanced, well-written story. We'll talk with him about it on Wednesday. But you have a lot of these people out there who think that they have some sort of grand position in the world to make change. Now, you want to make change, that's fine. That's okay. Whatever. God bless you, and more power to you if you can. But don't wreck a special day for other people. UConn's graduation ceremonies are coming up this week, May 4th through the 6th. The encampment at UConn began Thursday night. It featured one symbolic tent in the center. The rest had to be removed, though students later erected them again, and sleeping bags were stacked nearby, anticipating another night out under the stars. This guy, El Sabal, a senior, and get this, part-time student who's not scheduled to graduate. Doesn't that tell you? Right there. There it is. This guy doesn't care. This guy doesn't care because he's going to disrupt what should be a non-political day. I don't care whether you're on the right or on the left or you're pro-Israel or anti-Israel. If you're a Hamas lover, you have to go to the Ivy League to be a Hamas lover or Hamas hater. Put a sock in it for one day. Can you do that and not wreck graduation day or commencement day? And I would say that if you're a conservative, too. You know, colleges, believe it or not, some of them actually have conservative speakers. No. Leave the politics out of it. Leave the world events out of it. El Sabal, a senior and a part-time student who's not scheduled to graduate, said the group has a list of four demands that it wants to be met by UConn President Radhika Marich, whom the group derided in chants. These people, get out of here. The group's demands include, they demand, isn't it great when students demand something of a university? God, they're lucky I don't run a college. The group's demands include disclosure of the school's investments, severing ties with all war-related industries and companies, including Pratt & Whitney, Lockheed Martin, and Raytheon, severing ties with Israel. This is what it's about, folks. This is what it's about. 1939 Germany all over again. Including a study abroad program and stopping all repression toward Palestinian students and Zionist activities. Oh, they're so, everybody's repressed. Everybody's repressed. Okay. You're repressed in the U.S. going to an outstanding school. Now, if you want to protest, I'm okay with that, Mr. El Sabal. That's fine. Go ahead and protest. Don't wreck graduation. But somebody's going to do it because you have this generation of college students who are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and they think they know it all. Oh, we're going to protest. Okay. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. This is maddening. You have people openly saying now that they're going to disrupt commencement and disrupt graduation. What does that accomplish? Can anybody please explain to me at 333-9422, 333-WICC. Can anybody please explain to me what disrupting a graduation, disrupting a commencement day, casting a pall on what should be a really nice day, a warm day, that decades down the road, somebody can say, hey, Grandpa, hey, Grandma, what was your graduation day like? Oh, Billy, oh, Molly, I remember it fondly. It was supposed to be a nice day until people started protesting over a Middle East war. Now, is protest guaranteeing the Constitution? Absolutely it is. You have no right to wreck somebody's day. You don't. And if you go ahead and do that, it will prove to me how, I don't know, how selfish you are, how short-sighted you are, how you don't really care about other people because you are taking refuge in some short-sighted manner to think of how much you care so you feel better about yourself. All right? Speaking of protests, let's go to New Haven. My on-the-spot reporter, Bill, is there. Bill, what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Bill?
Hello.
What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
I got no phone.
Oh,
hello.
You
hello.
Sound good. Hey, Bill, what's going
I got
on?
No phone.
What's going on with the protesters, Bill? What's going on with the protesters?
If you said if they invade Poland, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that means it's... it'll be a Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
So we have to get involved, right?
Yes, for NATO. So, yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. No, that's right. Orchard Street cleaned up.
Nice.
Chapel's cleaned up.
All
they're
right.
Probably, it's not bad. They're building a new garage over there.
All
but,
right.
I got a new phone now.
Nice. So, you sound good. Hey, there was a lot of people on the green yesterday. 1,000 people.
Well,
down
you got to be careful down there. But you got to bring the cops down there. What happens down there is it's crazy. And they got kids down there now, so the cops could be down there with bikes.
Nice.
I told you I was in the wintertime. New. So.
Yeah. They were asking, are they still asking you to become a communist? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I was ripping them Chinese down. They had them all the way to down. It was crazy. What the hell is this? God, man.
Well,
you
Bill,
wanna go to Russia?
You know.
Get your head blown off? Russia, right.
Bill, your new phone sounds great. Thank you, Bill. Bill there in New Haven. Bill sounded good. Good new phone. Nice and loud. Very good. Bill's my New Haven correspondent. He's steering clear of the protesters there. On the green. The General Assembly is winding things down. They're due to wrap things up, I think, officially on May 8th, give or take a day. As usual, there are some housing initiatives in Hartford still alive, still alive, some are not. Was there any real movement? We'll talk about that now with one of our friends. You know her from CT 169 Strong, Alexis Harrison, joins us. Alexis, hi, it's Paul. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Good to be with you again. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. A long time no talk. So you've been following this a lot more closely than I have, because if I did what you have to do with this, my head would explode. And I'd be relying on duct
tape. I'm close to there.
Oh, my God. I'd be relying on duct tape to keep it together. But tell my listeners here, as we get close to the end of the current session, which thankfully is the short session, what's the status of some bills that people should know about?
Yeah, certainly. And as you said at the top, that there's been a trend in the last several years in the General Assembly to loosen up zoning laws in Connecticut to really create a centralized, you know, one-size-fits-all approach to local zoning in order to create dense housing in our suburbs. There's this assumption in Hartford that zoning regulations are essentially the cause of residents being cost-burdened. And therefore, upending zoning laws will be the solution.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Connecticut is a very expensive state to live in, from high taxes, energy costs, and you know, in a job market that's been pretty flat, I would say. So we're seeing more bills to create density. And what is troubling to us is another bill that we've seen crop up again year after year is the desegregate bill. This is a TOD bill, transit-oriented development,
mm-hmm.
which is a great thing. I think all of us are in favor of development around our transit areas. But one thing that is concerning about this bill, it really creates as-of-right development in our transit areas, which means to your listeners is that your voice would no longer be included at public hearings. Basically, a developer could come in and build what they want, where they want, around this transit area. The language in the bill is very vague. In some parts it says district, in other areas it says communities. So we take the communities part, that could be an entire town.
Mm-hmm.
So the language is really poorly written.
And don't they, Alexis, is this, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, is this the factor of what they're doing here, or the aspect, I should say, that defines a certain area as being within a certain radius or distance from, say, a rail line or a train station? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, it would be rapid bus stations.
Yeah.
It would be transit areas, yeah, railroad station. But the other fact in Connecticut is we don't really have, you know, reliable rail service. You know, I can't take a dinner party from my house in Fairfield down to Greenwich and go to, you know, a party. I have to drive a car. And I think what's not really noted throughout this process is that a lot of towns have already been doing TOD. I know in Fairfield, where I live, that's been a huge success story. Darien, Norwalk, you know, up and down the coast. But having this as-of-right language in the bill, again, because banning public hearings on permanent land use decisions would silence the voices of residents and really eliminate the careful consideration of local zoning commissions that we have, whom we trust. As far as the status, it's anybody's guess right now.
Mm.
We have, I think, another week to go before the session ends at the strike of midnight on May 8th. And we're just really not sure where it will go.
Is there a worry, Alexis, that some of these things could be put into, you know, that bill that the, you know, the bill that they have to pass to the implementer bill, the word escaped me. Any worry, any rumblings that stuff that either didn't pass or came out of committee and died before a vote, that some of those aspects could make it into the implementer or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a concern. But this is a non-budget year, I believe, so I don't think we're concerned about a budget. But we're also concerned about dummy bills that were passed at the beginning of the session, and they're basically just placeholder bills that you could throw anything in at the end of the session. We did see there's a bill on a study to eliminate municipal design, which is interesting because why would you have a study with a predetermined outcome? they threw in language on mandating basically more sewers in our communities, because you need sewers in order to create density. So there's a lot of, I would say, shenanigans and just not a lot of transparency happening with these housing bills.
You know,
it's just really poor public policy from my eyes.
I've noticed, Alexis, in a lot of the coverage in Hearst and other areas of a lot of these new apartment complexes going up in southwestern Connecticut, Fairfield, and all the areas. It does seem that, and I know this is by law, it has to be done, but it does seem that there are deals being made and aspects being followed of creating and mandating, I guess by state law it's still there, that these apartment developments, no matter where they are, have to have X amount of affordable units. And am I correct in seeing that that still is, you know, a major kind of carrot and stick thing for these developers, where you folks in zoning say, well, okay, but we need this number of affordable units?
Yeah, so basically that's, you're referring to the 830G law, which has been around for, you know, 30 plus years. You know, it allows developers to ignore all zoning regulations that we would have to adhere to as long as they deed restrict 30% of those units as affordable. But that's only for 40 years. So that's, you know, many of them are actually sunsetting right now. So that's a great question. Where are people going to go who have lived there for many years under, you know, an affordable, you know, rent, if you will? So 830G has not worked, unfortunately, but it's still on the books. And I think you make an interesting point, because these other bills are on top of 830G.
Mm.
So you just think about, why do we want to cityfy our suburbs? That's what makes our state so unique. We have suburbs that are beautiful, and we also have cities that need a lot of work. We should be fixing, you know, perhaps dilapidated housing in the suburbs. We should, or in the cities, and really making them prime places to be. You know, again, we another thing is we just haven't had that collaboration with state leaders.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, you know, we've talked about this as accusatory tone that suburbs are not doing enough when it comes to creating affordable housing. But many of us have, and many of us take that charge very seriously. I'm on the zoning board in my own town, and you know, creating diversity housing stock is essential. One other thing I do want to know, and I'm talking quick because we don't have a lot of time today. And there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But we have to remember a lot of these, you know, these bills, and especially the desegregate bill, that's really a delight for a developer who can come in, not have to deal with zoning or have a hearing. But a lot of these are not affordable units. So these are, you know, fairly expensive market rate apartments.
Yeah.
They're not cheap. So it's great to have the diversity, but it's really not helping people who are truly, truly cost burdened, who need that break.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Alexis, because I see, you know, when these, you know, stories about these new developments, oh, it's going to have this and that, and then even the affordable units, if you do the math, I'm like, how is that? I mean, I know technically it's affordable, but you're right, for a lot of people, it's not. It's not.
Yeah. Right. And senior housing, that's something that we don't focus on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with 830G, actually towns, when they do create affordable units, the senior housing, they don't get as many points. So a lot of towns haven't been building senior housing, for example. Mm. And so, again, those who need it aren't really getting it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just believe there are a lot of great ways for us to be collaborating. You know, C2169 is certainly in favor of affordable housing, but we just want good public policy to go with it.
Okay, and finally, did I see there's a webinar coming up tonight? Did I read that properly?
Yes, there is. We're doing another webinar. We have some great guests, including Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich, who's on the Planning and Development Committee up in Hartford. And we also have P&Z Chairwoman, of Greenwich, who will be on, and she's going to talk about some of the local work that they've been doing in Greenwich relative to TOD. And that starts at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 to 7. We'll have a great panel discussion again. And your listeners can find information to register for that webinar on our Facebook page, CT169 Strong.
All right. Alexis Harrison.
So,
Alexis, thank you.
Yeah, always appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Alexis. Be good. We'll talk down the road. Alexis Harrison from CT169 Strong. Of course, the reference there to 169 cities and towns in the state.